We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning. We welcome you to the church service this morning. If you are joining us online, you're welcome. And for those that are here in the building, you're very much welcome. It's good to see you are warming up with the weather and making a gallant presence in the house of God. Amen. This morning, I want to continue with our series that we began 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, on reflections from the empty tomb. And today we are on part three, which is from unbelief to faith. From unbelief to faith. We took the story from what happened when they discovered that there was nobody in the tomb. We took the story from Mary Magdalene when she went, and other women, they found that the tomb was empty. And last week we looked at the disciples themselves when Jesus appeared to them. And this morning I want us to look at another character who happened not to be in the house when Jesus visited the disciples. So I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, from verse 24. The Bible reads, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I'll never believe.'" Verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered them, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Amen. The story of Thomas, from unbelief to faith. Is this the only version you can use? New King James? Probably. Okay. Or King James even. From unbelief to faith. It's the story of Thomas. We know him as the doubting Thomas. I'm going to introduce something a little bit different from the doubting Thomas. I don't believe that he had a problem with doubt. He had other issues, but definitely not doubt. There's a problem in this story. There's a problem because it's a story of empowerment and sending of the disciples to go and preach the world. But there's a problem, and the problem is that one of the disciples was missing. When Jesus showed up, one of the key disciples was missing, and his name is Thomas. The other disciples had already seen Jesus. Jesus appeared to them 8 days ago, so they were very clear about the fact that Jesus was alive. But Thomas was not there when they saw him. And now the question I have is, why was Thomas not with the other disciples when Jesus showed up that evening, that resurrection evening? Remember, Thomas, I think it's worth remembering, particularly in these days when we are easing the restrictions. Remember, Thomas, when you miss church, you know, it could be the wrong Sunday to miss, because the Sunday that Thomas decided to be away is the Sunday that Jesus showed up. Can you think about that for a moment? Just think about that for a moment. That very Sunday when he said, "Oh, today I don't feel like going. Oh, today I'm feeling this and that." That's the day when Jesus showed up and revealed himself. So whenever you think about Thomas, not the doubting Thomas, but the missing Thomas, perhaps you could think about how he missed his special blessing, and God was gracious enough to come back again, however. So why was Thomas missing? I don't know. Maybe he was disappointed by what had happened 8 days ago, what had happened on the cross. Maybe he didn't want to be with friends. He wanted to be on his own to process what had just happened. And I need to say that whenever you're going through a situation of disappointment or discouragement and or defeat, it's probably a very good idea to be among friends. Don't isolate yourself, because isolation can lead to all sorts of things. My encouragement this morning is probably you need friends to be close by. Don't just lock yourself away out there and say, oh my goodness, I'm just alone and all this. Try and connect with your friends and family. It's probably a good time to think about coming back to church. It's probably an excellent time to think about going to church. If we can go to a restaurant, probably it's a good idea to pop in church one day, and God will look after you. Amen. Could it be that Thomas was still afraid? Maybe he was still full of fear. I actually think that he was still full of fear of death. He was still afraid that maybe we'll be the next ones to go to the cross. We don't know, but there were issues with Thomas. So he missed that day when Jesus showed up. Other disciples were liberated from the prison of fear, but Thomas was still an inmate in that prison of fear. He was still stuck in fear. He had to endure a whole week of fear and unbelief. A whole week. Because they told him the very night that, listen, Jesus was here. We saw him. And he just said, look, I don't believe that. A whole week of fear and insecurity. A week of unbelief. Whereas the other disciples were enjoying a week of joy and peace, knowing that Jesus is resurrected. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Maybe like Thomas, you've got your doubts. Maybe like Thomas, you've got your unbelief situation. Maybe you've got your fears. Fears from all sorts of places. We don't know. But I've come to tell you this morning that there is a place of joy. There is a place of peace in God. And it is Jesus himself who appeared and said, peace be unto you. Shalom, peace upon you. And I want us to join Thomas today as he journeys from fear to faith. There's a journey that Thomas walked in this story. He walked a journey of fear, from fear to faith. And many of us are probably with Thomas this morning, where we are afraid, where there are things that, they're in the Bible, but I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure whether it's true for me. Yes, I heard a testimony from my friend that Jesus heals. I heard a testimony from my friend that she got a job. And here I am still receiving regret after regret after regret. So really, 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 is this true? You are with Thomas today. And we're going to walk this journey with Thomas, the journey from fear to faith in 8 days. We're going to do it in less than 30 minutes. So we'll see. Number one, Thomas chose to see before believing. I know you've not heard this before, because Thomas is the doubting one, but I've got my issues with that. Thomas actually chose to listen to verse 24 and 25. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Who decided not to be there? Thomas. Okay? He decided to leave the rest of the disciples and go somewhere else. We don't know where he went. The Bible doesn't say. Verse 25. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But listen to what he says. He says, unless I see, that's Thomas speaking, unless I see with my eyes, his hands, not only see, but I want to place my finger into the mark of the nails. And not only my finger, but also my hand into his side Then here is the clue. I will never believe. You tell me if that's the language of a doubting person. He says, I Thomas Didymus, I tell you today that unless I see these things, I will never believe. That's a strong statement from Thomas. It is clear from this text that his absence made him insecure and fearful. You can see by his response. Where the others were secure, he was afraid. Now, unbelief thrives when fear is present. Fear prospers whenever unbelief is close by. Because Thomas was not there, he missed seeing Jesus Christ. He missed hearing those words of peace, that promise of peace. He missed that. He was in the dark. The other 10 told Thomas, if you go to the original language used, it's like they kept telling him, Thomas, Jesus is alive. And he kept saying, unless, I'll never believe. They didn't tell him once. They kept telling him, Thomas, Jesus is alive. And his response was the standard one for 8 days, unless. Jesus is alive, unless I see, unless this happens, I don't believe you. Now, I need to give him credit, though, that Thomas, to give him credit, he came back to church. Sorry, he came back to where the other disciples were. example. I need to give him credit, you know. He showed up the next week. He missed that Sunday, but he showed up the next week. He was in church that Sunday. So that's good of Thomas, that he came back. And when he came back, the problem comes because when he comes back, Thomas says, I'm going to give you a test in order for me to believe you. Not the disciples. He's now talking to Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to give you a test. And the test is, I want to see and I want to put my hand in. That's the test. If that happens, then I will believe you. This is Thomas. Like most in that day, Thomas had two names. Thomas, which is Aramaic. The other one is Didymus, which is Greek. Now, both those names mean the same thing. They mean a twin. So Thomas was a twin. He had a twin. The Bible doesn't tell us where the twin was, but we do know from those two names that he had a twin. Do you know what I think? I actually think that the reason it's left open like that is because you and I are his twin. just stay with me. You and I are his twin in this quest for faith. Remember, we're on a journey. So you and I, like Thomas, we want to give God conditions. Is someone listening here? We are like this guy because we do not know. But, you know, it's like Thomas is like, he's not too different from the other disciples. They have their own issues. It's just that happens that they were in the house that day. So as far as the resurrection was concerned, they had done their test before that when the women told them Jesus is alive. You remember them saying, oh, you're telling us little stories. We don't want to hear this or that. So Thomas is just like the other disciples and like us, because we insist on God proving himself to us. We insist unless it happens. Thomas was not, let's just get some more information about Thomas was not a novice when it came to things of faith. He wasn't. He wasn't a rookie in things of faith, because we know that he knew about miracles and signs and wonders. In fact, as one of the disciples, he had the vantage point of the front row. He had a seat on the front row when miracles were breaking out, when signs and wonders were at their peak. Thomas was in the front seat. In fact, at one point, Jesus said, they told him, your friend Lazarus is dead, you remember? And Jesus says, we shall go and wake him up. And they all said, oh no, we can't go there. I mean, they almost killed you. And it is Thomas courageously who stands up and says, maybe let's go back and die with him. That came from the mouth of Thomas in John 14. So Thomas was not a novice. He wasn't a baby in the things of faith. He was prepared to die. Am I talking to somebody here? Thomas was with Jesus along with the other disciples. He heard the teachings of Jesus Christ. He heard him teach that unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot come up with more. He heard Jesus say that. He heard him. He heard Jesus say, this temple shall be destroyed and after 3 days I shall build it up. He heard Jesus say that. He heard it. He was there. He was there. Thomas, our friend Thomas. However, he observed the life. You know, we look at the disciples. You must understand that the disciples were with the Son of God. And Thomas had the opportunity to observe at close range the Son of God every day for 3 years. Every day he knew when he was tired, he knew when he was hungry, he knew when he was weary, he knew when he was angry. He knew that. Thomas was close. He was close. He was close. And yet, he still chose not to believe, even when others told him, Jesus is alive. So why was he questioning our Lord's own resurrection? Like most of us, seeing is believing. We live in a world where seeing is believing. That brand sells. That brand is powerful. Seeing is believing. It's a scientific view to spiritual issues. And Thomas was a member of that society. And we are freely subscribing to that society that believes that you only believe when you see. And so Thomas takes it to another level, says, unless, never mind about prayer, unless I see, never mind about faith, unless I see, never mind about all this stuff about the word of God, unless I see it with my eyes, I will not believe you. Thomas, like most of us, he wanted proof. Prove to me that you are God the healer. You know, there's a part I admire about Thomas, though. And the part I admire about Thomas, though, is that he desired a personal experience with the Lord. I like that part. You know, where you're saying, oh, it's lovely God did that for you, but can I experience this myself? That part I like. Seeking God for yourself. Saying, I need to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus on my own. Yes, I come from a Christian family. Yes, my grandma was a Christian. But you are not a Christian, right? Maybe you're listening to me today. You see, a car does not become a garage because it's parked in a garage. You don't become a Christian because you belong to a Christian family. You got to have an encounter with Jesus Christ yourself. This is the part I like about Thomas. That much he was clear about that. However, Thomas had an issue because Thomas wanted to lay down conditions for God to show up. So God, if you give me a job, I'm going to church next Sunday. Say example. I'm just giving examples here. I'm not talking anything personal here. I'm just giving examples. Lord, unless you heal my daughter, I don't see why I should give to church. Prove to me, then I will believe you. Well, you've joined the society, the Seeing is Believing Society. Have you ever heard of that one? SBS? Seeing is Believing Society? The patron is Thomas. And he's looking for patrons. where we give God conditions, where we give God some kind of condition, say, God, unless this happens, unless this, I will not believe you. In fact, I will stop talking about Jesus unless I get that house. Unless I can get my hands on that Mercedes, mighty God, please, then forget about me being a part of the choir. Someone say example, example. Like I said, nothing personal today. Conditions must be met. Is it different from us today? No. No. We give God conditions. We give God conditions. But you see, the only issue is that you cannot come to the master in your own terms. You don't tell God what to do and how to come to you. It's not in the Bible. Jesus shows up when he wants to. He manifests when he wants to. He heals whoever he wants to heal. It's in his hands. He decides that I don't need to give God conditions like Thomas. God does what he wants to do. So I wanted to lay that foundation down about Thomas, that he was giving God conditions to make him believe. He chose to see before he believes. That was his decision. And I pray that you are not in that category where you're saying, I want to see. I want to see before I believe. My goodness, how do you want to see? You remember blind Bartimaeus says, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Imagine if he was part of the SBS society. He would have still been blind today. But he chose to say, even though I am blind, I can see with the eyes of my spirit that the Son of David is in town. So he starts screaming, Son of David, have mercy on me, a blind man who could see in the spirit. He was not a member of seeing is believing society. Number two, we are with Thomas on this journey, aren't we? So Thomas at this moment in time is a paid up member of SBS. And then something happens. Let's keep going with him. Number two. Now, you can get help, you know. Maybe you've been wondering, how do I resign from this society? You can get help. And here is the help. Number two is that Jesus has a personal interest and concern for you. Trust me in this. Jesus has a personal interest, a personal concern in you. What happens is that, verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples are inside again. And what does Jesus do? Jesus again comes through locked doors because he's reaching out to Thomas. Even locked doors can't stop Jesus getting to you. Even a closed heart cannot stop Jesus coming for you. Wherever you are, God is breaking through because he's concerned for you. So he's coming for you. That's how much he loves you. If he, look at this. If he could break through a tomb, what more a locked door to where you are? He's coming. So he comes to Thomas. And notice, his attention is on Thomas. He says to Thomas, now, I heard you. He didn't have to. How did Jesus hear him? He wasn't in the meeting. It's spiritual. Be careful what you say alone. You know, when you self-talk yourself to defeat, when you self-talk yourself to fear, when you self-talk yourself to despair, someone is listening. Because when Jesus shows up, he says, you want proof, Thomas? I'm here. Stick your hand on the holes of my hands. Try it, Thomas. Now you can see me, right? That's what you wanted, Thomas. I'm here. Is that all there is about following Jesus Christ? Is it about the house you're praying for? Is it about just healing? Is it about a car? Is it about a job? Is that all there is? So Jesus is saying, Thomas, is that all there is? Actually, I don't have problems giving you those things, but is that all? Is that all that we come to church for? Is that all that I died for, Thomas? Is that all that I hung on the cross for you to just see and believe? I don't know why you've been following Jesus Christ. Is it just to see the nails, the scars on the nail, where the nails were? By his wounds we're strapped. By his wounds we're healed. You know that, don't you? Is it just for healing that you seek God? Obviously, I'm talking to Thomas. Okay. Yeah. It's not you here. I'm talking to Thomas. You know what? It is an encouragement to us to know that the Lord Jesus. I'm encouraged by this text because if Jesus was concerned for Thomas, then he's concerned about me. He's concerned about you. He is concerned about you. The way you are, the struggles you're having believing God, he's still concerned. He's still interested. He's still invested in your life. This is Jesus Christ. He's very much concerned about you. Thomas reminds us that unbelief can rob us of God's promises. You know, unbelief can rob us because he missed being in the presence of God because of unbelief. And yet Jesus still came back to him. See, unbelief is a... Let me tell you the problem of Thomas. Thomas was not a doubting man. Thomas was a man of unbelief. They're not the same. Doubt and unbelief are not the same. He struggled with unbelief. That was his issue. That's why he says, unless, the scripture tells us, I won't believe. He says it. He said, I won't believe you. He's choosing not to believe. Even though he's been presented with the information, he says, I will not believe that. I choose not to believe Jesus Christ. It's like someone saying, I know what you're telling me. I know Jesus went to the cross. I know he died for me. I know that by his blood, my sins have been forgiven. But I choose not to believe you. I've met several people. I share the gospel. And they said to me, oh, Pastor, can we come back to this later? I respect them for that, just like I respect Thomas. Because they are being genuine. They're being honest. That I hear what you're saying, but not yet. I'm still enjoying my life. I'm still enjoying my lifestyle. I'm still enjoying the kind of things that make me excited. The things that I see. You can't fault a man who tells you the truth, right? It's called unbelief. Not doubt, unbelief. Thomas had a problem of unbelief. He was a spiritually minded man. Don't think Thomas was a funny guy. No. This guy was he sought deep truth. In John 14, verse 5, when everybody was quiet, he actually asked a question. He says, so show us the way to the Father. He was a very inquisitive, deep guy. So he wasn't but he struggled with unbelief. That makes him human, you know. Jesus dealt personally with Thomas. He came for him to deal with this unbelief thing. You notice Jesus has risen from the dead. 8 days later, he shows up to a man. I call him faithless Thomas. He comes to a man who's faithless because he wants to help him from this thing called unbelief. Let me tell you why unbelief is a dangerous thing for a believer. It's a dangerous thing. Take us to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. No. Just hang on here. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Yeah. While he's getting there, the opposite of doubt is not faith. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Okay? The opposite of faith is unbelief because unbelief can affect our lives. It can destroy a lot of things in our lives if we surrender to it. So faith and unbelief are actually pulling in opposite directions. Thomas's words help us to understand the difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt says, I cannot believe because there are many circumstances in my life. But unbelief says, I won't believe you. Even if you give me the, unless you give me the evidence I'm asking for, I'm not going to believe you. That's doubt. That's unbelief. Unbelief says, I hear you, but show me the evidence. Whereas doubt says, I'm going through stuff. Can I wait a bit about this Jesus thing? That's doubt. But when you are in unbelief, you are positively not believing. Positively. But Jesus was patient with Thomas. Why was Jesus patient with Thomas? It's because of this verse here. Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, take care, brothers, lest they be in any of you, a what? Read it with me. Evil, unbelieving heart. What happens when we've got an evil, unbelieving heart? It leads us to fall away from the living God. See, Jesus had already lost Judas. He can't lose another disciple now. So he had to come. Come for Thomas and say, Thomas, what is in your heart now is evil. This unbelief thing is evil. Doubt is not as bad as compared to. And unbelief is you're saying, I'm not going to believe you. I choose not to believe you. And that warranted Jesus to come. I say, because of your hearts, something evil is taking shape in your heart. I've come to deal with that issue. So be careful about unbelief. You are playing in a very dangerous territory when your heart is now getting used to not believing the word of God, not believing the things of God. You've got to be careful. How gracious it is of the Lord to stoop down at the level of where we are, of our experience, and reach out to us and say, Thomas, I'm here now. Can you stick your hand on my finger? Try me. I'm here. You can see me. Why? Because Jesus cares. Jesus cares. You remember the story of Gideon, fleecing guy. He keeps fleecing. Oh, no. If it's wet outside, let it be dry outside. If it's dry outside, let it be. He keeps doing these things. And God is patient with him. He's very patient with him. It doesn't mean that Gideon is smart. No, not at all. Not at all. Not by a mile. There are issues he's dealing with. But God is patient with him. And I believe that God is patient with us this morning. We live in a world where, you know, when you fail something, you're already called a failure. We forget about you. But Jesus still comes back to a guy who has got real issues that he's struggling with. In his heart, he came for him. And Jesus is coming for you. Jesus is coming for you. Because Jesus allows us to make mistakes. What a good God we serve. Amen. So Jesus knows your situation. He knows what you're going through. He understands your struggles. He's with you. You might say, oh, my God, what will happen now that I can't even, I'm reading this text, I'm not getting through. Listen, like Thomas, come back to Jesus. Go to a place where he can meet with you. Go to a place where Jesus can meet with you and he can help you to move from fear to faith. Here's the final point. In fact, this is where I wanted to spend lots of the time, but my time is gone. So, our online viewers, I'm going to bless them and release them. Jesus will help you to believe before seeing. What Jesus will do is he will move you from the SPS society to the BSS society, believing before seeing society. That's the one in heaven. That's the one for those born of the Spirit. That's the one that you want to follow. This one where you believe before you see. You will notice that Jesus, well, it's a veiled rebuke that he gives to Thomas in verse 28, he says, okay, but in verse 29, he brings it out very clearly. In John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus is very clear to Thomas. He says, well, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now remember that by this time, Thomas has already said, my Lord and my God, when he saw him. Thomas is now in this society now of belief. But for him to proceed from that point onwards, he needs to subscribe his membership to this new society of believing before seeing. So Jesus is saying to him, this is not just for today. This is your lifestyle. This is how you ought to live as a believer. You always believe before you see. Someone say amen. You always believe before you see, because seeing is not necessarily believing, but believing is seeing. And this seeing is with the eyes of faith. So faith operates this way. Let me help you a bit here. It is obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances or situations in your life. That is faith. Let me go further here. God speaks and we hear his word. And when we hear his word, we obey it by acting on it in spite of circumstances. Whatever the circumstances are, whatever the consequences may be, faith means you take God at his word. This is what God is teaching Thomas in that one sentence. He says, Thomas, I need you to understand that which I'm calling you to, that which I'm sending you out for, will only function if you are in a place where you believe before you see. This is how we live. This is the lifestyle that we live. This is what we've been called to as children of God. Circumstances may be impossible. Consequences may be frightening. It's true. And public opinion might even be hostile, but we ought to obey God's word. No matter what the cost, we are called to obey and believe God's word. It doesn't matter what people may say. Do you remember that day when Bartimaeus was shouting, son of David, have mercy on me? Were people clapping hands at him? Were people saying, you're doing well, Bartimaeus, excellent stuff, good theology, doing well, go for it. Is that what they said? No. Why? Because public opinion of the day was such that there is no way you can proclaim and call on the name of the Son of David because you are disturbing a very serious conference. Jesus was on a crusade, and the public opinion was that don't disturb him. How many of you know that God loves praise? You can disturb him any day, any hour with praise, heaven will hear you. And so when he's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. For you it's noise, but to heaven it's worship. It's called believing before seeing. So the seeing in the physical followed after his eyes of faith had been opened. Are your eyes open today? Let's go to Hebrews 11. I'm just going to, oh my goodness, I can't even go deep on this. Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 1. We'll just do Hebrews 11, verse 1. Give me King James. You're doing well with King James. You're doing well with King James, Mr. Media Man. Let's stay to King James, yeah. Now, faith. Let's read it together. Faith is the substance of? Yes, and? Of? Things not seen. So it's the substance. The Bible, Hebrews 11 gives us a description of what faith is and how it works. He says it's a substance. That word substance is a word that you can connect to something like a foundation. Something like something to stand on. Okay? That's what it translates to. Substance is something like a foundation. And you know that when you build a strong foundation, it doesn't matter what hits that thing. Whatever happens, that house will remain standing because its foundation is sure. You with me? So the writer of Hebrews says, faith is like a foundation that has been laid on your life. And whatever circumstances come your way, whatever public opinion might say and think about your life, it really doesn't matter, because that which is unseen is in the foundation. And the foundation is Christ, the rock of our salvation. He is the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. And therefore, if your foundation is Jesus Christ, it really doesn't matter what Satan is up to. You will remain standing. So the writer says, the faith is the substance of things hoped for. We don't see them yet, but we hope for them in the future. And then he says, it's the evidence. Evidence. Now, evidence is like, another word for that is conviction or assurance or title deeds. Is someone listening here? See, when you got title deeds, it's like if you've got a title deed to a certain piece of land, and people come in and start building their funny things and their whatever, and then you are like, oh, you're building on whose land again? On mine. What is the evidence that you own that property? It's your title deeds. You might not be in it right now, but you've got the title deeds. And so when Abraham, God gives him Canaan, Abraham lives in a tent like an immigrant on the land that has already been deeded to him by Jehovah El Shaddai. And so he wanders around, but he's still looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. So he's not shaken when the Canaanites do their funny things. They do whatever they like. He's not shaken. 430 years, the children of Israel are in Egypt, but they have got title deeds. My friend, it's called faith. Evidence of things not seen by the eyes, but heaven has released them to you. And let's listen to this. God keeps his promises. God will always be there for his promise. He will show up to make true your promises, because he's faithful. So what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the title deeds of things not seen in the physical, but in the spiritual, is been concluded. It's been concluded. In the spiritual, it's concluded. So, and then, Hebrews, my goodness, we could stay longer here. It then goes on to talk about witnesses. It says, put verse, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 4. Through faith, therefore, we then understand that the worlds were framed by what? By the word of God. By the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So you are here today not because of stuff that is seen. It is heaven that decided that you will be born. It was already concluded in heaven that you shall live on this earth. And then the manifestation follows. But already your being here is a statement of faith. And there are witnesses in heaven that you were meant to be here. And there is work for you to do. That is faith. God has already passed whatever you need to achieve his purposes in this earth. You have everything you need. So he says to Thomas, Thomas, my friend, you shall not live by what you see. You shall live by what you believe. Because if any man believes, nothing shall be impossible to him. Nothing. I remember when God showed us this building. In those days, we were renting here. And we were kicked around. They would tell us, oh, you left lights on. You're going to pay £15. Because we left lights on. Oh, you didn't sweep the hall very well. So we're going to charge you £10. And we had no choice. We had nowhere to run. So we just paid. We kept paying. Say, oh, you broke our chair the other day. So for that chair, how much should you pay? We'll come back to you. But you know what? One day, In a prayer meeting, God showed us that you shall have this mountain. It's yours. So we continued renting for 6 years, but we knew in inside that it's going to be ours. Amen. So a day came when it was supposed to be ours, but someone, it was given to somebody else. Is someone listening here? Faith is believing that which you do not see with your eyes, but your eyes in the spirit are on fire. And so one day they came to us. They said, you know that thing, that guy who bought a thing, it didn't go through, but how much do you want to pay for it? Say, yes, now you've come. So we named the price. We named how we're going to pay for it. And we decided when they're going to move out of the building. And we're tenants, by the way. But see, heaven had already closed the deal. All we needed to do was to have our eyes opened in the spirit. Imagine if, like Thomas, we were not here by that day. Imagine if, like Thomas, we decided to go and weep and moan in despair. Say, oh, they're making us pay for chairs that we didn't break. They're making us pay for lights that we left on. Oh, my God, what shall we do? Maybe we can go online. Example. I need to close. I need to close now because my online viewers will not be happy with that. Let's close it here. So what am I saying? My friends, faith is a very practical thing. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. Faith enables us to do what others cannot do. So when Noah starts building an ark, they laugh at him, don't they? They mock him, say, he's a mad man. And yet he was seeing something by faith. The flood is coming. What are you seeing today? My prayer is that the eyes of your spirit will be open. Maybe you're here today. Fear is giving you a hard time. There's always a knock. Fear is knocking at your door. Non-stop. Knock. You know how irritating it is to have someone knocking non-stop. Pressing the bell. Oh, my daughter likes that. When she's outside, the door is locked. She just keeps pressing. Until you wake up and open the door. Now, sometimes this thing called fear can be visiting you nonstop. You go to work, fear is knocking. You get back home, fear is knocking. You try to sleep, fear is knocking. You try to be on your own, fear is knocking. Now, listen to me. My encouragement today, the reason I was teaching you about faith is that next time you hear a knock, could you send faith to go answer the door? Amen. Let faith do the answering of the door for you. Because faith is strong. Faith is on a foundation. Faith has got evidence. Faith says, I've not been given a spirit of fear. I've been given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. So I will not be intimidated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, could you stand on your feet if you don't mind? Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you for your people, Lord. Like Thomas, we identify with them. We do. We do identify with them, Father. But today, we resign our membership from the Believe Before Seeing Society and cross over by faith into the Believing Before Seeing Society, where Jesus is our patron. Where Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So today, my Lord, would you help us? Would you help my brothers? Would you help my sisters? Would you help us transition? Would you help us be men and women of faith? In the name of Jesus. If there's any fear among those that are hearing my voice right now, I command you, spirit of fear, pack and go.
in the name of Jesus. Pack and go. In Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Loose your people and let them go. In the name of Jesus. You have no place anymore. You have no room anymore. There's only room for one. And it's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so from today, even though we do not see, we believe by faith in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Glory. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.